Good morning and welcome to worship here at St Andrew's on this sad weekend. Our opening words are just inside the order of service. Today we meet shocked, enraged, saddened that sisters and brothers worshipping together were gunned down without mercy. We seek the truth for today, so we can be one company of pilgrims together in love and trust and solidarity of faith. A message from the moderator of our church. We are deeply, deeply shocked. There are really no words to adequately convey the gravity of the situation where people have lost their lives and been injured in such a senseless and violent manner. In New Zealand, this sort of violence is unheard of, and we must stand together as a nation against religious violence. There is strength in diversity, and many of us we'll have neighbours who are different to ourselves. We need to learn their names, break bread with them, and work to understand their faiths and their values, because this is how the hatred and fear that breeds such violence will be eliminated. We pray today for today's victims and their families, and we pray for God's blessing upon the Christchurch community, who will be particularly affected by this tragedy. I call on all of our parishioners and faith communities to have a moment of silence before worship this Sunday. The love and power of God shall reign through all the world. So let's stand for that minute of silence. Holy God of mercy and compassion, pour down your embrace and love on all the world, in places of strife, violence, and death. We pray for the communities in Christchurch, the victims of this horrific tragedy, their families, and the whole of New Zealand. May your grace and power surround us all, giving strength and courage in the face of hatred and evil. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Our moderator, for those of you who don't know him, is a Pacific Island man, and he knows what it's like to come to a new country and settle in and feel at home here, even though it's not his place of birth. So, welcome to church today. It's good to see you all here, and I'm glad that you have come today to be with others. And we have a morning tea afterwards where we can carry on conversations, which I'm no doubt have been going around in your mind. We don't forget that this is also the Pride Festival fortnight, and the flag is in honour of that. It's there for the Glamophones concert on the 21st of March, but we get the benefit for the two Sundays either side. So let's remember the joy and the delight of supporting those who need support with that symbol in front of us. Let us say together the Lord's Prayer, which is on the card in the order of service that you have. Eternal Spirit, life giver, pain bearer, love maker, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God, in whom is heaven. The hallowing of your name echo through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. Every Sunday here at St Andrew's, we light a rainbow candle, which signifies that everyone is welcome, but in this particular case, it emphasises that children are welcome. And children usually light the candle for us. I can see two children up the back. Would you like to come and light our rainbow candle? It's up here. We can make it a two-child job. This is very brave of you to do this. So if you'd like to light from the Christ candle, and then this is the one we're going to light. It's a bit interesting, isn't it? It's way down there. Well done. And would you like to blow out the taper? Excellent. Well done. Would you like to have a seat and we'll look at a story? So where are you guys from? Wellington. Oh good, you're one of us. My name's Susan. What's your name? Emily? Yep. Anna. Nice names. Very nice. This is Graham. And behind him is Jules, and Jules runs our program, which you might like to decide to go with her later. We'll decide that later. She's very tired, I would think, because she had a show last night. She's got another one today. So I want to talk about this story. Do you know what's been going on in New Zealand? Yeah, okay. Not nice, is it? So I wanted to read this story, which is about some kids who get to know some other kids who are different from who they are. So this is where they live, on a tropical island. It looks a bit like New Zealand, doesn't it? Only a bit more things growing. And the two children are called Akiko and Hiroshi. Can you guess what country they might come from, Flynn? I don't think they would be born in the South Island. I think they might have come from Japan. That's my guess. We'll see if that's true as we get through. So they came to this new island because their parents were going to work there. So they weren't born on this island. They came to it from another country. And there were butterflies waggling around, and they've said it will be perfect, said Akiko, looking at the ocean, if we can just make some friends, said her brother. Have you ever been anywhere new where you wanted to make friends? Yeah, it's a bit tricky, isn't it, making friends in a new place? That wasn't so easy. The islanders' language was difficult to learn, and some of the children were shy of this new girl and boy. Akiko and Hiroshi were lonely at first. Then along came Pablo, always smiling, always ready for a game. Proud of his island, he showed them its glorious secrets, and that included going out on a boat. And he even taught them how to paddle a canoe. See, the canoe's got an outrigger on it. Helps to keep it stable. Okay. Place looks gorgeous, doesn't it? All that colour. What's this? One day he showed them a rusty red reef of twisted metal rearing up out of the sea, a wrecked ship groaning among the movement of the waves, while overhead the seabird screamed. What ship is that? Whispered Akiko. It gives me a bad feeling. I don't know, said Pablo, but I'll ask my grandmother. She knows all about everything. Have you got any guesses as to what that might be? No? Okay. So it's an old wrecked ship. Here they are. They're looking even further, and they're talking about turtles. And they're talking about the fact that there are big currents in the ocean, like rivers, that sweep. You know, things can go a long way in the ocean without having to make much effort, because if they get into one of those rivers, it's kind of like a current. Okay, and then he shows them the turtles on the beach, the little turtles and the big turtles. And then something happens. Next day, Pablo was not waiting for them on the beach. It's too late to be watching the turtles, suggested Hiroshi. They waited, but still he did not come. Not that day, not the next. And finally they found him. To their amazement, he said, I won't play with you anymore. I know who you are. I asked my grandma about that wreck in the bay. She told me how you came here in the war. We did, said Akiko. Your kind, your people, people from your country, how you attacked our island. You're the enemy. It's one of your ships. I'm glad it sank. Wow. So just because they come from the same country as the people who came in the ship, Pablo has decided he doesn't like them. And so they're really upset, and they get into the canoe and they go paddling without Pablo. And you know what happens? They get caught up in one of those rivers in the ocean. And then look, it gets really, really stormy, and they're really, really worried whether they're going to survive. And then look, a big ship comes by and rescues them. And it says, and there, reaching down, were weathered brown hands grabbing at the slippery wetness of their hair. So they got rescued. Whew. That's a relief, isn't it? Okay. It was one of those ocean rivers that had swept Hiroshi out to sea. The ship's skipper told them when he had brought them both safe home. They're longer than any river on dry land, he said. They carried our ancestors' tiny boats all around the world, some of them to live here and some to live there. You mean that Pablo's ancestors and ours might have lived in the same place once? Exclaimed Akiko. Might have been brothers, even. Well, of course, we're all just sailors come ashore from the same deep blue sea. Isn't that interesting? Maybe that's why I rowed out when I saw Hiroshi was in trouble, said Pablo. How can brothers be enemies? How can anyone be enemies? Said Hiroshi. If it's only the sea in between that makes us different. Sometimes people forget, said the skipper sadly. Like Pablo's grandma, he could remember the war. Sometimes people forget. Not Akiko, nor Pablo, nor Hiroshi. They would not forget what the sea and the skipper had taught them. So on the day he sailed away, three children waved goodbye from the shore. Three good friends, not enemies. Three sailors come ashore off the same deep blue sea. And the same night, the turtle's eggs hatched. And the little baby turtles, guided by the sea's shine, tumbled into the water at the start of their own lifetime of voyaging along the ocean's rivers. Mm-hmm. So, we all look quite different. You have a look at this group of people here. They all look really different, don't they? and they come from different places. Hands up those who were not born in New Zealand. Look at that! Wow, that's far too many people to be nasty to, isn't it? We're all here, and we're all friends together. Okay. So what we do now is we usually stand in a little circle and we send you to the Rainbow Room and everyone blesses you. So let's do that now. Then you can decide if you want to go to the Rainbow Room. Okay, so let's hold hands. We send you to the Rainbow Room if you want to go, to hear stories, ask questions and have fun. And we all say, we bless you. Amen. And we're going to pass the peace while we just make a decision here.
The word in texts. Hebrew Bible, 1 Samuel 20, 12 to 42. Then Jonathan said to David, I swear by the God of Israel that I will surely sound out my father. If he is favorably disposed towards you, I will not send you word and let you know. But if my father intends to harm you, may God deal with Jonathan, be it ever so severely, if I do not let you know and send you away in peace. May God be with you as he has been with my father. But show me unfailing kindness like the Lord's kindness as long as I live, so I not be killed. And do not ever cut off your kindness from my family, not even when God has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, May God call David's enemies to account. And Jonathan had David reaffirm his oath out of love for him, because he loved him as he loved himself. Then Jonathan said to David, Tomorrow is the new moon feast. You will be missed. The day after tomorrow, toward evening, go to the place where you hid when this trouble began and wait by the stone Ezel. I will shoot three arrows to the side of it as though shooting at a target. I will send a boy and say, Go find the arrows. If I say, Look, the arrows are on this side of you, bring them here, then come. Because as surely as the Lord lives, you are safe. But if I say to the boy, Look, the arrows are beyond you, then you must go, because God has sent you away. About the matter you and I discussed, remember, God is witness between you and me forever. So David hid in the field, and when the new moon feast came, the king sat down to eat. He sat in his customary place by the wall, but David's place was empty. Saul said nothing that day. But the next day, the second day of the month, David's place was empty again. Then Saul said to Jonathan, Why hasn't the son of Jesse come to the meal, either yesterday or today? Jonathan answered, David earnestly asked me for permission to go to Bethlehem. He said, Let me go, because our family is observing a sacrifice in the town. If I have found favor in your eyes, let me away to see my brothers. That is why he has not come to the king's table. Saul's anger flared up, and he said to Jonathan, You son of a perverse and rebellious woman! Don't I know you have sided with the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of the mother who bore you? As long as the son of Jesse lives on this earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Now send someone to bring him to me, for he must die. Why should he be put to death? What has he done? Jonathan asked. But Saul hurled his spear at him to kill him. Then Jonathan knew his father intended to kill David. Jonathan got up in fierce anger. On that second day of the feast, he did not eat, grieved at his father's shameful treatment of David. In the morning, Jonathan went out to the field for his meeting with David. He had a small boy with him, and he said, Run and find the arrows I shoot. As the boy ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. When the boy came to where Jonathan's arrow had fallen, Jonathan called out after him, "Isn't the arrow beyond you?" Then he shouted, "Hurry, go quickly, don't stop." The boy picked up the arrow and returned. The boy knew nothing about all this, only Jonathan and David knew. Then Jonathan gave his weapons to the boy and said, "Go, carry them back to town." After the boy had gone, David got up from the south side of the stone and bowed down before Jonathan three times with his face to the ground. Then they kissed each other and wept together, but David wept the most. Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying, 'God is witness between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever.'" Then David left, and Jonathan went back to the town. Luke 13:10-17. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up. When Jesus saw her, he called to her and said, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not the Sabbath." Jesus answered him, "You hypocrites, don't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey and lead it out to water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. And the contemporary reading, David Gushy, 2014, cited by Wei Zhu. "I do join your crusade tonight. I will henceforth oppose any form of discrimination against you. I will seek to solidarity with you who have suffered the lash of countless Christian rejections. I'll be your ally in every way I know how to be. Traditionalist Christian teaching produces despair in just about every gay or lesbian person who must endure it. It took me 2 decades of service as a married, straight, evangelical Christian minister and ethicist to finally get there. I'm truly sorry that it took me so long to come into full solidarity with the church's own most oppressed group." And the response, "For the word in scripture, for the word among us, for the word within us, we give thanks."
reasons to be upset with the gunman in Christchurch. One of mine was that the service I'd been preparing all week needed to be totally changed. So up the back, there is a reflection that you're going to hear in a minute, and there's the one you might have heard had Friday not happened. And the reason I've put both of them out there is that I really felt it was important during Pride Festival to talk about passages in the scripture that have been used against the gay community. And I wouldn't like to think that that information wasn't disseminated. So there are copies up the back of the church if you want to take them later. As I say in that printed document, everything kind of stopped for me halfway through Friday afternoon, so it's not an entirely polished reflection, the one you won't hear, but it has the information in it. Let us pray. After Friday, we all are thinking new thoughts. We are all looking at ourselves and our country in a new way. So may we see what it is that we can learn even from a tragedy such as we have experienced. So may it be. Amen. So where do you start? Where do you begin to unravel the events of Christchurch, 15th of March 2019? At first, I thought changing the reflection today left out the very group whose festival is right now, the Rainbow Community, with its variety of sexual orientations and gender identities. And then I thought again, because what happened in Christchurch is just another facet of the difficulty we all have as human beings relating to and embracing those who are other to us. It's significant, I think, that three particular closures I heard of requested by police in the past two or three days affect groups that suffer the same circumstance. In some way, they are different from the majority or the perceived norm. Obviously, mosques were requested to suspend their services. The Muslim community, though not inconsiderable in numbers, is a minority in this country. And on Saturday, so too was the Jewish synagogue asked not to meet, another religious minority. And also the Pride Parade and the fair out in the park were cancelled. So the Muslim, the Jewish, and the Rainbow communities are all minorities within Western society. And that difference, that minority status, makes the rest of that society edgy. And it's tragically obvious that it makes a group of white supremacists, and this weekend one man in particular, so edgy that they see the need to resort to deadly force. And it's a sad irony that we might feel more comfortable worshipping here today than at the mosque or the synagogue, because the perpetrator on Friday was, as much as we might hate to say it, one of us. Even though our Prime Minister has been at pains to point out that this is not New Zealand, in fact, we all have our shadow side. We all have fears and anxieties that we have pushed back and down and away. We have to do that to survive some of the circumstances of our lives. And these fears lie deep down and keep us from being as open and free as we might be. We do not, perhaps, pick up a machine gun. In fact, I devoutly hope not. But whenever someone is around who is different from us, it tests our inner fortitude to be open, welcoming, and friendly in the same way that we are open and welcoming and friendly to those who are like ourselves. And that applies in all groups. Heterosexuals might be surprised to know that around them, in some situations, gays feel awkward and uneasy. We know now for sure that walking around New Zealand society for Muslims will not be as easy if it was easy before. And I think particularly of a Somalian woman that was on the TV One news special last night, dressed in a yellow robe, too scared to go out of her own house. And it was pretty obvious she didn't have much English, So how is that woman in the future going to feel? How is she going to be able to reintegrate into our society? And unfortunately, the Jewish community is frequently reminded that the Gentiles around them are not always friendly. I spent a year in the US in the late 1970s. It was a revelation how ordinary Americans could be. Up until then, I had only known Americans as a group that were foreign to me. I was there during the Iranian hostage crisis, and it was very revealing to find myself in a creative dramatics class with American students, as well as some Iranian engineering students who were unable to go home for the December break because the President Jimmy Carter had frozen their family's assets. You could have cut the air with a knife when the Iranian students identified themselves on the first day. I also discovered on that trip that there are several Americas within the USA. East Coasters I met in Philadelphia didn't understand the Kansas people I knew in the Midwest, and the Midwest didn't particularly care whether the East Coast or the West Coast approved of them. I can see now that's part of the deep divisions that we can see in that country. What we do is take all that fearful anxiety we have tucked away and project it onto those whom we do not know or understand or have not yet met. We feel an uneasiness around them that's like the uneasiness we feel about our own fears and anxieties tucked away in our shadow side. So we put the two together and the other wears it for us. It's so much more comfortable if someone else can be to blame. And we notice this in wartime because it's so extreme. Hitler became the repository of all the evil we could imagine. He certainly perpetrated evil acts. But often, however, the person we credit with malign motives is just different. A different colour, different sex, gender, race, culture, religion, or theology, orientation, or identity. And the less we know personally about someone, the easier it is to pile upon them all we want to get rid of in ourselves. So when Jacinda tells us this is not New Zealand, the unfortunate truth is that it is really. We are not a pure white or pure green nation, completely different from everyone else. We are fallible too. We can mistake someone different for someone frightening or bad. And while this perpetrator deserves the punishment set down in the law, let's not make him the scapegoat for the discomfort that we feel when the faces around us are increasingly different from ours, or when the varieties of gender identity within the rainbow community proliferate beyond heterosexual understanding. We all need to manage our anxieties, become aware of that which we are projecting onto others, which is really our own stuff. There's a never-ending path of transformation and maturation which we all need to be walking. It's a path that the gunman in Christchurch had obviously not taken. We heard in the story of David and Jonathan earlier how two men, because of their love for each other, helped each other despite having been cast on opposite sides of a tribal conflict. They both risked their lives, Jonathan in warning David in this event, and David in later life when he befriends and helps Jonathan's maimed son Mephibosheth, keeping the oath that he swears in the passage you heard read. They love each other as they loved themselves, something Jesus and all the major religions urge us to do, to love first ourselves, and then to similarly love our neighbour. And we know from the story of the Good Samaritan that our neighbour is not only someone of our own race, they could even be our long-term enemy. In the Gospel reading today, Jesus showed on the Sabbath in the synagogue that he is one who defies current understandings. He extends care for the human person beyond the current rules. He upsets the establishment by going beyond what is expected or allowed for. So may we do the same as we move around our world, always putting people before what is expected or before what has been traditionally demanded. May we learn from David Gushee. The contemporary reading was part of a speech that he made at a gay conference. He now regrets the 2 decades he spent in denial and rejection of the gay community within the church. And now he and another scholar, Matthew Vine, have given us different ways to interpret the very scriptures that have been claimed to exclude gays from Christianity. And you'll find reference to both of those men in the other reflection that was written for today. Briefly, what's happened in the Bible is that from medieval times, contemporary fears and prejudices have been read back into scripture, altering the original meaning of passages and missing the fact that the behaviours that are condemned aren't specifically homosexual behaviours, but simply bad ways to conduct relationships of any type. All of us need help in the personal self-control and self-management that helps us to be good relationship partners, irrespective of our orientation or our gender identity. For our psychological and emotional health, all relationships need to be loving, non-violent, mutual, faithful, and as long-lasting as we can manage. Love your neighbour as you love yourself, the golden rule, common to Christianity and Islam and Judaism, as well as in other major world religions. We all know we need to do this, but because of that shadow side that we all have, it takes effort and persistence and patience and courage. So let us exercise that persistence and patience and courage, and so welcome with open arms those who differ from us. Today we welcome the Rainbow community with joy and delight, appreciating their creativity and stamina, their courage and risk-taking, their persistence in the face of prejudice. And today especially we include in that welcome the Muslim community. Many migrants to this country, relieved to be away from war zones and discrimination, and yet now afraid in this country for a new reason. Sisters and brothers, let us love one another, for love is of God. We're going to have a time of quiet music, and the candles are here at the front, and if you want to light one to mark anything at all that you've been thinking over this weekend, then feel free to come forward and do that. Our offerings for the work here and beyond and food for the food bank will be received. Our prayer is responsive. Our gifts come with love and gratitude and a sense of duty. We pray they will be effective. Money used well for the continuation of this church's mission. Food used for those who are homeless. We pray for the grace to also use well that which we have retained. So all we have works for good. So may it be. Amen. St Andrew's people may have some notices, or anyone may have some notices. If you'd like to come and sit in the front row, that would be good. There is a box up the back of the church for the Presbyterian Women of Aotearoa New Zealand. This is the second Sunday, just in case people found last Sunday's notice too short for them. So that is boxes there at the back. Thank you, everyone who organised that. There's been quite a lot going on and changing, but as far as we understand, the Harvest Cafe at Petone will continue on the 23rd. And we still actually have quite a lot of baking left over from the cafe on the 9th, some of it still in the freezer, and some of it needing to be eaten because it got taken out of the freezer yesterday and not used. So we don't need a lot of baking, I don't think, for the 23rd, but if you could be in touch during the week, that would be good if you are a baker. Also, on Tuesday night this week, there will be an interfaith gathering here in this church, which will include delegates to the ILGA conference, which is beginning tomorrow, And everyone is welcome to that at 6:30. There's a notice in the order of service about that. At the moment, meeting at the back in the hall and over the centre are pre-conference meetings associated with the ILGA conference. And so if you see anyone looking lost, and there could be two people in the foyer, Frank, who look lost at the moment, you could direct them to the centre. The Pacific Island Forum is meeting in the hall, and other groups are meeting throughout the building. Also during the week, we're going to have the Rainbow Room available as a chill-out space. It is quite a long way from the conference centre, which is at Michael Fowler Centre, but people may wish to use it even more now after the last weekend. So if you see anyone wandering around the centre looking lost, it's the Rainbow Room where the space is for them during the week. I've been receiving quite a lot of grateful messages and grateful comments from the gay community for the use of our buildings, which has been given to them pro bono. And so those of you who regularly contribute to the offerings here at St Andrews, you gave that gift. So thank you very much for that from them. Also, I got a lovely letter from Hilary Penwarden, who some of you will remember she worked for a brief time in our office. She had ginger hair, which changed shape frequently. Hilary is studying drama in the western coast of the USA, and she wrote back to say how much she appreciated being able to work for us and be openly gay while she worked here, and really quite movingly expressed how good she found that. So I'll print that in the next e-news so that people can read that. It's all I can think of at the moment, and there are people here, so.
I'm Wendy Matthews, and I'm a new member of the SATIS Trust Board. I'd just like to draw your attention to the notice which is in the order of service, Mindful People Build the Future. Now, this course, or this idea of providing courses, is a new venture for the Trust, and this one has a very practical approach. It's going to be led by Jan Rivers starting next Sunday night, the 24th, from 5:30 to 7, upstairs conference room 1 and 2. And so it's practical meditation instructions, opportunity to discuss what meditation and mindfulness means to us and how we can use it in our lives. In my Presbyterian background, I've never had anything like that, so I think it is quite exciting.
I'm Lynn Dovey, Parish Council Convener. Yesterday, Ben and I went to the mosque to pay our respects, and we met the leader of the mosque, sort of the Parish Council Convener equivalent, I think, who happens to be a patient of Ben and his colleagues. I felt very gratified that I was able to tell him that we were opening the church here yesterday afternoon for 3 hours for people to come. And although we were not overwhelmed, it was a quiet and important gesture, I think, in the central city. I also have a request. It's hard to think of normality at a time like this, but I think that music has a very healing property, and thank you, Peter, for your support today. We are, as you know, raising funds to restore the organ, and our first concert of the year will be on the 27th of April. There's a notice in your order of service. I would really appreciate one or two people who would be willing to hand out flyers at the next NZSO concerts and at the Wellington Chamber Orchestra concert. The details are in your order of service. If you can just let me know if that's possible. Thank you.
Morning, everyone. My name is Fiona McDougall. You'll see that the Stations of the Cross paintings are up. These go up every other year. And we have a service coming up on the 19th of April at 10 a.m., which is Good Friday. And you're invited to contribute a meditation and prayer to one of the stations as part of that service. If you'd be interested in doing that, get in touch with me. I'm very willing to help people who need a little bit more information or encouragement to do that. In the order of service, there is my phone number and email. Thank you.
Now, my name is James and I attend here. I have discovered by accident, by listening to the radio, that there is an ODEX committee charged with formulating policy responses to the events in Christchurch. I have a variety of ignorant opinions about what those responses could be. If anyone feels like hauling their ignorance with me, please feel free.
I'm Marilyn Wallace. My husband Bruce is organising a fundraiser for the organ restoration project to do with processing and sale of firewood. We're hoping to have a session next Saturday at our place at Pawatahanui. If anyone would like to come and spend some time in the fresh air and the countryside and help with processing the wood next Saturday, we're thinking sessions between 10 and 1 and 2 and 5, so you don't have to come for the whole day, with lots of stops for morning tea, lunch and afternoon tea in between. Perhaps if you'd like to give me your names afterwards. If you don't have transport, the train comes to Plimerton and we could always pick people up from the Plimerton railway station.
Just one comment. I have a notice in there on developments after the Christchurch tragedy, and I mentioned in there an idea that came through the email of a ring of human protection for the Kilburnie Mosque at 6 o'clock tonight. I have a feeling that will be superseded by the civic vigil at Civic Square at 6 p.m, which has been announced. That's my intuition. I don't know for sure, but certainly at 6 o'clock there is a vigil at Civic Square that you may wish to attend. Sometimes it's hard to keep up with events. Now, one other event is the Exploring Faith Study Group, which usually meets after church on the Sunday of the month. Perhaps you could meet up the front. There are a few issues about that. One is the timing, and one is a place to meet, and one is what we might do. So if we could just meet here just before you get your cup of tea and coffee, that would be good, and we can talk that through. Next Sunday is Social Justice, which is about transgender issues, and it will be happening after the service. Right, now we're going to pray. Thanks, Sue.
We pray today with heavy hearts as we grieve the loss of so many lives in Christchurch. We also mourn the loss of our country's innocence, our belief that nothing so atrocious could ever happen on these shores. We pray for members of the Muslim community still waiting to have the fate of missing family members confirmed, and for others waiting to bury the dead swiftly according to their custom. Through our tears and disbelief, we are heartened to see so many people in New Zealand reaching out to express their outrage and sadness, their solidarity with those affected by this terrible slaughter, and their desire to help and even donate money to total strangers, to people who practice a faith that is entirely foreign to them. And so we hold on to our belief that there is more goodness in this country than evil, more tolerance than intolerance, and more love in this land than hate. May all those directly and indirectly affected by what has happened feel the overwhelming aroha and support of friend and stranger. Today, too, we remember the Rainbow community and all their efforts to support people marginalized because of their sexual orientation or gender identity. The festivities may have been cancelled as a result of the Christchurch massacre, but this does not change who we are. As a progressive religious community, it fills us with pride to welcome all LGBTI worshippers, sidelined or excluded or perhaps even shamed by their own religious community. May everyone who enters these doors continue to feel welcome and able to participate fully in all that we do here together. Most of all today, we pray that we will learn through persistence, patience, and courage, as Susan says, to step over our own shadow side and seek the light. In our circle of prayer today, we think of the people of Mozambique and the Council of Churches in Namibia. Here in New Zealand, we remember those in Parliament, and today we think especially of all MPs associated with Christchurch and Canterbury. We name Tim McIndoe, Hamilton West electorate, and Todd McClay, Rotorua electorate, and especially our Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern as she leads our country at this time of high alert. Here in the Central Presbytery, we pray for the leaders and people of Bell Block, Lepperton Cooperating Church, Brooklands Cooperating Church, and St. James Presbyterian Church, New Plymouth. As always, we close our prayers of the people with the prayer for St. Andrews, which you will find on the laminated card. If you come from another place, we invite you to join us in this prayer, and if you wish, to think of it as one for your people and your place too. Renew your people, God, and renew our life in this place. Give us a new spirit of unity with all who follow Christ, and a new spirit of love towards all people. Bless the city in which we live, that it may be a place where honest dealing, good government, the desire for beauty, and the care for others flourish. Bless this church, that what we know of your will may become what we do, and what we believe the strong impulse of our worship and work. Amen.
have watched and thought and prayed. We have cried and yearned for our innocence back. We go out now into a fractured world. May we know how to be the glue which pieces us back together. May we know how best to love and support those who are afraid, making sure they know love surrounds us all every moment of every day.